are listening to Book Nuts. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Book Nuts. This is episode number 11. And actually this one book, we are actually going to be talking about The Last Templar by Raymond Curry. I think that's how you pronounce it. And this is a podcast where we talk about books, and we listen to it on audiobooks, but feel free to read the book if you want. You want to join us, email me at tracy@podnuts.com, and we'll let you know what we're going to, what time we're doing, what we're doing, so you can listen to it and join us and everything like that. And that's about it. Any questions, comments, concerns, join in, give us some ideas. We, matter of fact, we got a book coming up down the line. We got recommended, The Count of Monte Cristo. Listened to it and fully enjoyed it. I'll say that now.
Yeah,
it was a great book. So if you, have any suggestions, let us know. And that little voice you heard out there is the one, the only, the one, the only, I'll say it a third time, the one, the only, Mr. Jonathan Nadeau.
Hello, howdy people. How are you all doing today?
I personally am doing awesome. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing fantastic. Everything's going pretty well. I think we're out of the woods with people being sick, so that's always a good thing.
That's actually kind of nice. That's, yeah. Especially, were you sick or was the stomach flu going around?
No, I don't even know. I went through various stages. One night I ended up just totally losing my voice, but then I got like a headache for like 2 days that I could not shake. Then I started coughing like for the next couple of days, and then after that, then my nose got insanely stuffed and I couldn't breathe, and now I'm still sort of have a stuffed nose, but that's about it.
Well, that's good. At least it's not there yet. I think stomach flu is one of the worst because besides being sick and this and that, you got a lot of stuff to clean up too. So
exactly.
Yeah, with adults, it's not as bad. When you got kids, there's a lot of cleanup for that.
Yes, there is.
Exactly. So that's enough of that. Let's get into the book, The Last Templar by Raymond Curry. So this book was in 2005. It was on the bestseller list for 22 months.
Wow.
That was one of the reasons I wanted to listen to this one. Basically, this book is about, there's a main character, Tess, and she's an archaeologist. She's at a museum opening with a bunch of artifacts from the Vatican. And some people come up with on horses dressed as Templars, the old Templars, and basically kill some people and rob stuff. And basically it's about her and FBI agent trying to, his name is Sean Riley, the FBI agent, trying to find out who killed the people and what they stole and why, basically like that.
Yeah, like Tracy said, the Vatican was having this display at this museum, and they are showing all of these relics throughout time, you know, all these things that had to do, you know, revolving around Catholicism, you know, things from like 500 AD and like 300 AD and, you know, 1200 AD and things like that. So, you know, they're putting them on display, things that people had never seen before. And like Tracy said, there are these people dressed up as what was called Templars. They came in and they were looking for a very specific item. And it was basically, it was a thing to decrypt messages, essentially, is what it was. It was this really old, you know, looking thing. It was built around, I don't remember the exact time frame that Tess gave, but it was very old. And basically, the people would encrypt messages, and they would have to have one of these machines in order to decrypt the messages.
Right, because, and part of that is, and I knew this going in, was the Templars were basically the first bank. When people would go to the Holy Land, they'd get robbed. So what they would do is it'd be a special encrypted message saying, hey, they have this much money they dropped off here in France. And you get there, give them the message, okay, you're authorized this much money. How much do you want? I want this much right now. Boom, they give you a new slip. So you keep that little encoded slip. So that way you have can get more out. So it was basically that device. But it was, they used that device for something else that was hidden. I don't want to get into that now.
Yeah, and the you know, and so this won't give away anything, but you get a little more, you know, backstory to it. So, you know, the reason why someone wanted to steal this decrypting thing is, like Tracy said, they knew it was used for something else other than this. And there are all these rumors like, oh, it's, it'll lead you to the Holy Grail, or oh, it'll lead you to this, or it'll lead you to like a, the spring of life or whatever, like to have everlasting life. And so there are all these rumors going around, and at the end of the book you figure out what it's all about. But so there's a reason why someone wanted to steal this specific device, because in the museum there are all these other things that are on display, like with jewels and gems and gold and crucifixes that were probably worth like hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars just because of the jewels that were on it. And none of that stuff was taken. Just well, there's a few other things that were taken, but this decrypting device was the main thing that they were after.
And when I was looking for the name and everything, I found out this was actually done in a TV miniseries too in 2009. But it says in there that the movie is very different from the book. So, like most of the time. So, I'm sure, yeah. So, if you saw the miniseries, like most books, it's or movies and shows based off books, it has nothing, to do with the book. Kind of like the Dresden Files, great book series. They made a TV series out of it, but boy, it was TV series was horrible. One of the main characters in the Dresden Files, that's a main enemy of Dresden, is like a good friend in the book, and it's like what? So yeah, kind of like this. I'm sure they had a lot to do with that too. So that's basically kind of in the synopsis. They're trying to catch the person that killed the people and find that device and see why they want to get that device. And they kind of lead on to that, like Jonathan was saying. And you do, it does kind of flip back and forth through the book between present day and back in the 13th and 14th century.
Yeah, you'll get like flashbacks of them using the device, or the guys that were, touching the device and doing things with it. And what, one other thing before we go into the spoiler is, when the FBI, when Sean Riley get involved, they're looking for these guys that came in, and why'd they rob the museum, and so they're trying to find these guys. But Tess was in the museum while it was being robbed, and she was like behind some statue or something, and so she saw this, decrypting device being stolen. And so she was an eyewitness to that specific thing being stolen. And this guy Sean was interviewing her, just trying to understand what happened that night. And they, if it wasn't for her help, because she was an archaeologist, she knew what that device was. The FBI, they had no idea. So she was really kind of helping them throughout the book, really find who stole this device and why they did. So they Sean and Tess end up kind of teaming up together throughout the book, and they become a team.
And for the length of the book, if you take average length of the book, this is a little bit longer. I would say probably 20% longer than average book, let me say. According to Wikipedia, it's 525 pages, so it's a pretty longer book than normal. Because if I remember, 350 to 450 is about average for a book.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get more into it in the spoiler, but it did seem longer. It seemed longer than that to me, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, so it was a little longer than normal book. So, okay, since there's nothing else before we get into the spoiler section, again, if you want to get in contact with us, Tracy at podness.com. If to Jonathan, send it to me. I'll throw it over to him in the via magical email. And if you want to join us again, like I says, let us know. And just want to appreciate everybody for listening to this and everything like that. We're going to get into the spoiler section here. And if you want to support the podcast, just go to podness.com/Amazon to purchase the book, to purchase the audiobook, or anything like that. Or if you're going to buy something, obviously, it doesn't cost you any more. Just throws a little love back to Podnuts for hosting this for us. So that's it. Let's get on to the spoiler section.
Here we go.
Okay, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. First and foremost, once I finish this book, my first thought was this was one of the biggest knockoffs to the Da Vinci Codes I've seen.
I never read the Da Vinci Code, but I'd have to say, at first I was like, wow, I like this book. This is getting great. It's getting great. And then about three quarters of the way through, there's just this giant part of the whole book that was attacking the Bible. I was like, whoa, really? I was like, this came out of nowhere. And like, it just seemed like that part of the book just dragged on and on forever. And then that took a turn for me where I was like, you know what? I thought this was a good book, but it just plummeted big time for me.
Yeah. And about when they were attacking the way the Da Vinci Code did it, they took some biblical stuff and kind of made different meanings, but didn't change anything. In The Last Templar, some of the stuff they were using as quote facts are actually not facts. He was making his own facts up. So again, to me, that ruined the book because he really didn't have to do that.
No, there was no call for that at all. Like he could have left, like that took up probably the extra 25% of the book. Like that, he, you know, it was almost like he had an axe to grind, like the author or something. It just came out of left field.
Yeah, so that's why for me it wasn't as, just because it was, he tried to make the book sound factual, kind of like the Da Vinci Code did, and make your own meaning out of it to make it turn into a story, but the facts weren't right. So again, this was a fiction book. You can say, oh, it was a fiction all the time, but he was trying to take factual events like the Da Vinci Code did. And I'm not saying that like that, the Da Vinci Code, the whole storyline about with the Catholic Church and everything like this, it was very, very Da Vinci Code-esque.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, up until that point, I thought it was a great book. You know, that like we said in the beginning, the thing that was stolen was this like decryptor, and no one really knew much about this item. And so she remembered as, you know, in her archaeology days, that she crossed the path of this professor. And she was trying to find people that knew more about this item, and she's kind of, you know, hitting a brick wall every time. But this one person said, I don't remember the guy's name now, but, oh, you should check Professor so-and-so. She's like, oh, that's a good idea. But she's like, I have no idea how to find him. He used to work at a university, and he wasn't working there for like 5 years. So she, through, you know, searching the net, she finds out that his wife had died. And she was like, and the next day, it was like her anniversary of her dying. So just on a whim, she went to the cemetery, and lo and behold, that guy was there.
Yeah, named Bill Vance.
Yes, yeah. And yep. So she wanted to ask Bill about this artifact, and, you know, make a long story short, it turns out he is the one that stole this artifact, and he had a bunch of documents that he got from France that he needed to decrypt, and he knew that this was the item to do it.
Yeah, and then you find out his whole plan was, his wife died in childbirth. So did the baby.
Yeah.
And she had something where it was going to be real complicated, and she had a chance of losing her life. And they went to the priest, and the priest says, no, you can't have an abortion. That is, you know, taking a life, you know. Basically, you're going to go to hell if you don't. So when they died, he just blamed everything the church, and he's doing everything he can to bring down Christianity, basically.
Right, because the documents that, basically this whole, you know, Templar thing and the documents that he had, he had basically, you know, heard from other people, like what in France and other, you know, historians when he was trying to do this study, that, you know, Jesus basically wrote this book that the Templars were kind of overseeing. They were in control of it. They're almost like, not only were they a bank, but they were kind of like a military for the Catholic Church, sort of. And so they were guarding this book because Jesus wrote this book, and it basically, the proof of him writing this book proved that Christianity was this made-up religion, and Jesus was just like this nice guy with these good ideals. And, you know, the Catholic Church has been guarding this secret for, you know, thousands of years, because if people found out Christianity wasn't real, what would that do to the whole world, and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, this guy, Bill Vance, he was just out to find, you know, this hidden book, and these documents that he had were supposed to lead the way to where this book that Jesus wrote that proved Christianity wasn't real.
Yes, that's basically the book in a nutshell. It one thing about this book, it, like some action books, and I hate to say criticism because a lot of people like this. It builds, 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 it builds. Boom, it's done.
Right, exactly.
That's what this one was. And I'm not a huge fan of that. I'm a fan of it builds, it builds, it builds, plateaus, 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 and then ends. That's me. That's not necessarily other people, but it just kind of went on and then just, okay, you know, everything kind of like in a half a chapter finished up and it was like, boy, okay.
Yeah, and so, and, you know, basically at the end of the book, you know, I guess we'll, this is a spoiler, so we'll give it away. So at the end of the book, they end up finding, you know, they do discover this book, and it supposedly, you know, was written by Jesus. And, you know, they basically they got, you know, I don't know, let's just say they get the book. There's a whole big mess before that. So they get the book, she discovers the book, she gets it, and she's like, you know, do I tell Sean, because he was you know, a Catholic and he believed that the Bible was real and he didn't want to face the, you know, the reality of it being not real. And so she was struggling, like, you know, she wanted to, you know, have the biggest find of anyone's career in archaeology. So she's like, do I tell people? Do I just burn it up and get rid of it? What do I do? And then Bill ends up, you know, finding her and steals the book from her. And basically he ends up falling off a cliff and, you know, dying, and the whole book, you know, falls down the cliff with him and, you know, lands in the ocean and gets wrecked. But like Tracy said, throughout the book, there's these flashbacks. And so at the end of the book, it flashes back one more time, and you realize that the Templar people, the original Templars that were supposedly guarding this book, they're the ones that actually wrote the book. So you find out it was all a big hoax anyways. Like, Jesus actually didn't write the book. It was the Templars and so on and so forth.
Exactly. So, yeah, here's where I think this would be really good. Take this book and make it into a graphic novel. I think that would be pretty good. Get good artists to go along, because the different places they were, you'd get some good sceneries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you made this into a movie and you followed the book, I think it would be better movie than book, just because the movie would cut some stuff out that was a little lengthy in the book, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
I think this is one of the situations where the movie, if you followed the book, might be better than the book.
And if they took a more of an approach of like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, like, I thought that was done pretty well, the way they, you know, even though, you know, obviously it wasn't factual stuff, but the way they did that, I thought that was better than the way they handled it on this, the Templar.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10, honestly, I give this a 6.
I'm thinking 2-1, you know, just like I said, I was not a fan of how they attacked the Bible, so that really ruined it for me. If it were for that section, I would have given it like an 8 or a 9 probably.
Okay. Yeah, it's for me, it just drug on, like you said, about stuff that didn't really need to be in the book, honestly. And you don't really know why, other than there's an axe to grind or something, but to me, just drug on.
That
through that section, and to me it was kind of like a Da Vinci Code part 2 basically, so that's why. And this did come out after the Da Vinci Code, so it's not like Da Vinci Code copied this. It you could tell it was the same kind of outline plot type deal. So, and for me, the 6, what that means is 5 or 6 right there is if you got nothing else to do, but there's a lot of other better stuff to listen to.
And the book starts fast. I mean, the book opens with the museum thing and the horses coming up the stairs and people breaking in. I mean, that's within the first few pages. So, I mean, the book comes out quick and heavy, but it just drags on after that.
Yeah, so that was The Last Templar by Raymond Curry. If you want to, go listen to it. If you want to buy it, go buy it. That's up to you. But, yeah, so any last thing before we finish up?
I think that's it. Check out podnuts.com/Amazon.
That sounds good. Appreciate everybody listening to this, downloading it. And this week, do not bother Steve this week, okay? Matter of fact, I don't want anybody to talk to Steve this week, okay?
Yeah, if Steve tries to hit you up on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, just ignore him. Don't even answer him back.
And if you have to answer, just say, Tracy and Jonathan said I'm not supposed to talk to you. So
there you go.
You can do that too. So thanks again to everybody listening to this. Again, Tracy at podness.com if you want to get in contact with us. Thank you for listening, everybody, and everybody have a great week.
See ya.